Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
With that, I want to introduce our guest speaker today. His name is Larry Henderson. He was saved in 1972, and in 1975, Larry was sent out by ALCC in an outreach to Lebanon, Oregon for training as an intern pastor. He founded the Springfield Christian Center in Springfield, Oregon. He pastored this church for 17 years. He also pastored Colorado Springs Christian Center for 5 years, and he was a pastor and dean of the students for Portland Bible College for 8 years. The Bible College has had over 300 students at the time, and he is a staff pastor for Portland Bible Temple and now Portland City Church for 2 years. Larry's pastoral experience totals 432 years, or 32 years. Sounds like it, doesn't it? Larry is married, and he has 2 adult children and 3 grandchildren. The Hendersons now live in Portland, but we're honored to have you come minister to our church here on Father's Day. So would you please stand, church, and let's honor and welcome Pastor Larry Henderson.
You know, it was so weird. I came here this morning, and I pulled up, and I parked in the senior parking. Senior parking. And so just being back here, it's been like a sensory overload. Because I got saved in the old building over here, and then we opened the big building, and it's been an incredible, awesome journey. A lot of years. I can't talk about all of it. I have, but some things I wanted to bring you up to step. When I first got saved, I had just been out of Vietnam for about a year, and I was a drug dealer. I was a drug addict, drug dealer. And to my shame, and I got wonderfully saved. I got born again, set free, made whole, and delivered. And the things that I was taught right here in this church. And wow, did it ever set? I had no idea I'd ever pastor. I had no idea I'd ever speak in front of people. But I did, and God just gloriously saved my life. And my girlfriend got saved like 2 weeks after me, and we've been married for 41 years. Amen. Amen. We have 2 daughters, and I have 3 grandchildren, one of which is with me, and his name is Dylan. Dylan, would you stand? Would you welcome him? And he's 12 years old, and him and I are great buddies, dear friends. So I got here. And I became a believer, and the message back then when I got saved was forgiveness. I had no church background. I was in the world without God, and I got touched and saved, again, set free. And the message was forgiveness, and I had a lot of friends that I sold drugs to that also got saved. About 30 of them got saved, and you know what the big thing was? They wanted to know why I wasn't taking drugs anymore or why I wasn't getting loaded anymore. And I'd say, well, I've been forgiven. And they'd say, how do you mean that? Forgiven? How do you mean that? And I'd say, I've been forgiven. Jesus Christ has forgiven me. And that was so interesting to them because I wouldn't get loaded again. I didn't need to. And I was happy. That was another part of it, you know. I was happy. Get that. And my face changed. Get that. Your face changes when you get saved because you are happy. And there's joy. You don't get it all. You don't understand it all. You don't know you've been redeemed, set free, made whole, delivered. You know, you've been sanctified, justified. You know, you've been all these big words that mean a great deal. But at that time, I was just glad to be forgiven. How about the rest of you? And so all my friends, they were glad to hear about the fact that we were forgiven. And a lot of most of my friends got saved. And so once they got saved, I didn't know what to do with them. And me and a friend of mine who actually led me to the Lord, I didn't get saved in the church. I was very paranoid of the church. I knew they were after your money, and I was reluctant. However, I had a guy witness to me when I was at work, and as not our church, but we started growing, and meaning where I was living. We lived in a Quonset hut, and, you know, it was like my message just started. Okay, I'm watching the time here. Anyway, we were in this Quonset hut. It was a big party house, and it all changed into a Bible study. And so we'd meet at night. I had a job at nighttime. We'd come home about 11 o'clock and would open the book called Good News for Modern Man. How many have ever read it? Good News for Modern Man was the book we started in. And we'd sit there and we'd say, what happened today with everybody? And they'd basically tell us what happened, the bumps they went through, the rubs they had, and all the above. And we would, like, turn to the back of the book and find out that, somebody would say, well, you know, my girlfriend was with another guy. So we'd turn to the back of the book to find out, okay, this has got to be it. And so we'd read Good News for Modern Man, and we'd obviously say, well, that's unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. And we were doing our best with what was going on, didn't know what was going on, really. But it was going on. And so we read a scripture that said, it's in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a man or some is. You read these things, right? And so here we were, baby Christians, you know. At that time, they called us Jesus freaks. The reason they called us Jesus freaks is because we were happy. We were happy, and our faces were changing because you're grinning and there's joy and you're saying praise the Lord a lot. And, you know, people didn't get that. We got it. So what happened was we went looking for a church because we hadn't been in church yet. And so basically we all landed at Abbott Luke Christian Center. Actually, it was Abbott Luke Community Chapel. It was that little building back there. And we landed there, and we walked in, and there was a fathering pastor there. His name was, still is, Dick Benjamin. And reality check is, he fathered us. Talk about Father's Day, my word. He fathered us and mentored us and preached the word. And I could go on and on, but I had to share that. And so the next thing was, would you bring me that water, Dylan, right there? I'm a brand new believer. I don't know nothing about Christianity. However, I knew I was forgiven. And everybody said? Then I started reading a little bit and then realizing that I wanted to be a disciple because a disciple were the closest people to Jesus. And I know this is not profound, but it's truth. And so I thought I'd share it anyway. So I wanted to be a disciple. Somewhere I heard that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians, but there aren't very many disciples. I heard that somewhere. And so I wanted to be as close as I could get to Jesus Christ, and being a disciple filled the ticket. And so they had a Bible school. I went to Bible school only because I wanted to be a disciple. It's still written on my records, why do you want to come to Bible school? I wrote to be that. Next thing that happened, I learned in Bible school that there was such a thing as an elder. I didn't know these things. Everyone say, I just did not know church. I knew no Christianese or nothing. But I heard in Bible school that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And it goes on to say he's a husband of one wife, and he gives the description and qualities of an elder. And I was sitting there, and that was like a rhema from God, if you will. I mean, like a revelation to me. And actually, Apostle Dick was teaching that day. And I received that word supernaturally and touched my life. And I thought, well, that's absolutely what I want to be. I want to be that. So I come from a slant, you know, in Christendom, there's like inspiration and aspiration. And all of Christendom, you know, it's divine sovereignty and human responsibility. So I have a slant about aspiration. I just have always had that slant. And what I mean by that is I always wanted to please God. I just had this desire to please God. And I'm sure most everyone here wants to. Amen? I mean, I traveled and had the privilege of doing that. Most everywhere, everyone that loves Jesus wants to please God. So in this aspiration bent I was on, I ended up growing, maturing, and then I heard the word equip. And the scripture goes, and when he ascended up on high, Jesus led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the saints do the work of the ministry, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we might all grow up unto him. And that was like a revelation to me. There's a whole lot of aspiration in that for me. In other words, I wanted to do whatever I needed to do to rise to the occasion, that if God wanted, I mean, the idea I could be equipped, I could do the work of the ministry, I could do the work of God. God wants to partner up with me. And I'm thinking, in all my weaknesses and my failures and all my humanity, God wants to work with me. That's quite a thought. But at that time, it moved me. And so, as things turned out, I ended up becoming a pastor. And then I was sent out. And so, equipping. And then the church was in a mode of sending and planting at that season. And when I was at Portland Bible College, I did a class on church planting because that was my history. And so in that particular class, they called it the church planting method. And so the Bible teaches that when you sow the seed are the children of the kingdom as well as the word of God. So in one gospel, they're the word of God, but in the other gospel, they're the children of the kingdom, and that you sow good seed, which are children of the kingdom. And so Abbot Loop, 65 churches, 67 later, I'm just saying to you, you're building on a legacy. You're building on a legacy. And you're famous. You are. You're famous. And people know the history. And they sent out 1,300 people out of this building over here, these two buildings. 1,300 people out of one church, out of one place, adults and all that. Are you tracking with me? And so you're famous. And that's been the legacy. And one thing I've got to say about Pastor Josh, I've just got to meet him a few more minutes here. I'd only met Pastor Josh like one time. And I just have to commend you because of all the next door stuff. Kaboom! I mean, wow, talk about a sensory overload. I had a tree fall in our house a year ago, and I was paralyzed. And so I don't know what this had to be like, but anyway, it's over. Thank God for that. Everyone said? It's over. I want to go on with this. I'd like you to open your Bibles or on Isaiah chapter 14, please. Isaiah chapter 14. And Isaiah is an incredible book, obviously. And a major prophet. But in Isaiah chapter 14, he speaks of something, and I'm going to principalize on it. To every scripture, there's observation, then there's interpretation, which is what does it say, what does it mean, and then there's application. In this particular scriptures that I'm reading, I'm going to principalize on them. And it's Isaiah chapter 14, I'll read verse 24. Sweet. That's cool. And it says this, verse 20 what? Thank you. It says, the Lord of hosts has sworn. He's sworn saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purpose, so it shall stand. That I will break the Syrians in my hand. And he goes on and speaks about his day and his time and things that were happening to that nation. But I want to principalize on the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. Down in verse 26, it says this. This is the purpose that is purpose against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. What I do with that, there's many, many other scriptures I can't go to, but it gives you a glimpse that God has a purpose, God has a plan before and from the foundations of the earth. If you read Ephesians chapter 3, it actually gives you like God's purpose and plan and how the church should be involved in administrating his purposes and his plans. The point is, I'm trying to make, is that this is what I call God's determined will. God's determined will is that he's going to have a glorious church. He's going to have a victorious church. And it's going to be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. So after 32 years or whatever it was been, whatever it all added up to, I still very much believe that God's determined will, with or without me, he's going to have a glorious, victorious church. And it's going to be a beautiful church, and it's going to be a bride, and it's waiting for the bridegroom, Jesus, and it's going to be a helpmeet for him. And I've never been able to kind of shake that. No matter, you know, in the church, if you've been it very long, there can be the good, bad, and ugly. If you've been in it very long. And the reason for that is because we have a problem. Our problem is that after I got saved, I didn't go to heaven. That's been a problem. The second thing is that while I'm on planet Earth, I have a thing called humanity. And how many know that that can mess up your spirituality? And so the church is becoming who we are, becoming the bride of Christ, but at the same time, there can be bumps. How many know that? There can be bumps and whatever. The thing you don't want to do is you don't want to get disappointed, you don't want to become disillusioned, and you don't want to become discouraged, because if you do, you'll become detached. And so a lot of people today that have been in the church have gone through those things where that happened to them, and pretty soon they become discouraged, and it's like, and they're moving back, and they're backing up, and they alienate themselves from the life of God that they were enjoying, and they can become detached. And so that's something you just want to not allow to happen. And so this has got what I call God's determined will. Who will disannul it? Disannul it means this. It means to break up. Who will break it up? Or who will frustrate what God's purpose is? Or it means to cause to cease. It means to defeat. It means to disappoint. It means who will turn it back? In other words, if God said it's going to happen, did God really say? It mentions that in Genesis. Did God really say? That's what he said. Jesus said it like this. I will what? In other words, it's all his idea. You know, the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, that Jesus Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what the joy that was set before him was? Look at each other. It's the church. It's his bride. And so there's a plan, there's a purpose, and this is God's determined will, with or without me. However, God wants it, let me just say that. Who will turn it back? It's kind of like you can't say, I'm sorry, but that's unacceptable. There's nothing you can say. God's going to do it. Now, I want to talk here a little bit more about Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. And this is what I want to say. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. As best I can ascertain, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where this has been fulfilled. But it says this, it shall come to pass in the last days or the latter days. It shall come to pass in the last days. Hold that thought because you're reading it. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. It will be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow onto it. Actually, it says the top. And many people will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, because he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. I mean, I got close. What do you think? Well, this has been a lifelong theme of mine ever since I've been a pastor. When I got into the pastorate, I began to realize that this wasn't a job. It was a mission. I was on a mission. And my mission was to build a house that would touch our city. Build a house that would be influential. Why? Because of these scriptures. There's many more. Basically, what this is saying is that it's going to be a house of influence. That the church is going to be influential. The church is going to become a voice. The church is going to become an alternative. The church is going to be a light. The church is going to make a difference. Every local church, wherever they're at. When I'm reading these particular scriptures, and I don't have time today, but when it talks about the house, it's talking about a local church. When it's talking about the mountain of the Lord, it's talking about the kingdom of God. So it shall come to pass in these days that the mountain, the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established. It will be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. And many people, a few people, oh no. It says many people will come and say, I can't shake that. It's like I'm expecting big things. I still believe in big things. And, you know, my journey, you know, has been, had its bumps, believe me. But I still believe in big things. As best I can ascertain, that hasn't been fulfilled yet. These are scriptures that I haven't seen fulfilled as of yet. In Matthew, I'm going to move on. So God has a determined will, but God also has a desired will. God's desired will is that he wants me involved. Are you guys with me here? He wants me involved. That's his desired will. And so the Bible has a lot to say about how involved I should get or how involved I should be. And you got to understand again my beginnings. I knew nothing about church, nothing about the purposes of God. I mean, I was like just fresh out of the world, a red hot sinner. You get my point? But now I'm starting to grow and I'm starting to process and I'm starting to discover that, you know, bottom line, God has all of this under control. And that I can submit to this that he has under control. So there are a few scriptures here that I wrote down. And I thought I'd choose the book of Romans just simply because, you know, chronologically, the book of Romans isn't in the Bible in its order when it was written, but practically it is. And the practical part of the whole book of Romans is the just shall live by faith, which is the theme of the whole book. And so chapter 1, basically Gentiles are guilty. Chapter 2, Jews are guilty. Chapter 3, all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that kind of puts us up like, okay, chapter 4, verse 5, verse 6, it goes on. It talks about justification by faith and results of justification by faith. And chapter, you know, 9, 10, 11, it talks about Israel, natural Israel, past, present, and future. But then it has a pivotal place in Romans chapter 12. And it's almost like Paul's writing, and he gets to Romans chapter 12, and he says, and then he goes finally, he's like, all right. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And the word beseech, no time to tell you about it, but it's powerful. It's like a very intense word. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the way I'm saying it, I'm half believing that's kind of the way he meant it. In other words, he's saying, if you believe everything I've told you and I've written you and, you know, called you to do and explained to you doctrinally all the way up to chapter 12, he says, I beseech you because of the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's like, which is your reasonable? No, it's like, work with me. Come on. This is your reasonable service. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And so in those three verses, I had a really wise man one day tell me it had to do with identification, transformation, and the last one was evaluation. It talks about, so let each man, because of the measure of faith that he has, you understand? And I think you have it up there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Well, that's what I call God's desired will. He's got a determined will. This is going to happen. But he's saying, Larry, I want you to understand something. I want to include you. I want to partner with you. Larry, I want you to be involved. Larry, you can be involved. Larry, I can use you. With all your weaknesses and all your funny thoughts and all your humanity and all the, you know, stuff that's not all put together, he's saying, I can use you. And right away, he used me, you know, to tell people about forgiveness. At least I knew that, I knew what forgiveness was. And people were getting saved. And then people were growing and maturing. And, you know, the rest of my friends, so many of them are either pastoring a church now or they're an elder or they're in leadership somewhere. It's true. And so this is what I got to grow up, the atmosphere I got to grow up in. I mentioned to Rick this morning that being at Brother Benjamin's house was like a sensory overload because of all the pictures that he has in there. And, you know, this picture of Dolores and him and when they were young and all that, you know. So for me, it's been just a wonderful opportunity to just soak it up. At any rate, God has a determined will, and he wants to use you. In Romans, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. There's more definition I think I wanted to give. And it was about like this. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 is talking about Peter, who's now preaching the good news and the gospel to the Jews. And Peter is finishing his message, basically. And he's saying this. Now, with many other words did he testify and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Wait a minute. I thought I was. How many thought you were saved? Okay, how about this? How many think you're saved? There you go. Thanks. Okay, well, I looked at that scripture and I'm thinking, saved? I am saved. What do you mean with many other words? What many other words? I mean, I just had street sense. You know, I wasn't an IT guy. Computers weren't here yet, you understand? I was a dinosaur back then. You get it? And so I'm just looking at, I was street sense type of wisdom thinking, many other words. Well, I need to find out what that is because we do live in an untoward generation. Dylan, if I was to ask you what kind of world we live in, what would you tell me? Fallen. We live in a fallen world. And Jesus tells us that God, that the God of this world is the devil. I mean, it's very plain about that. Am I making sense? And so in God's desired will, I'm realizing I've got stuff I've got to press into and do. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I looked that up and I studied that and I've preached on it before. It means bring to completion that which God began. Bring to completion that which God began. You mean I have a choice? The Bible is a whole book of choices. And this is kind of street sense. It's like, wow, if I make the right choice, good on me. If I make the bad choice, bad on me. You get what I'm saying? And so the Bible teaches principle that the curse is not causeless. And so we make choices, and there are consequences to every choice that we make every day. But the Bible gives us direction. The Bible is the Word of God, gives us the path that we can walk on. Why? Because God has a desired will for you and you and you. And I'm just sharing my testimony, really. And he's had one for me. And so I'm thinking, work out? Okay, let me find out what that means. And I've been doing my best. And Galatians 6, verse 5, it says, first it says, bear each one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of God. And then it says, for each man will bear his own burden or bear his own load. And I'm thinking, I'm still a fresh Christian, okay? I'm thinking, bear his own load? I've got a load to bear? I've got a burden? That's the first time I'm thinking, I'm hearing this word burden. You know, I got saved, set free, made whole, delivered. And I'm thinking, Now there's other things coming up that I need to learn about. Why? Because God has a desired will for my life. And he wants me to submit, and he wants me to surrender, and he wants me to flow into his plan. He wants me to live a life that honors him, that glorifies him. He wanted me to live a life that gives him pleasure. Yeah. And so for these years, I've been processing all that and pondering all that and kind of doing my best, as best I can ascertain the mind of God. And taking one step after another. Pick up your cross daily. But you got to pick it up. Well, let my wife pick it up. No, you pick it up. My kid, you pick it up. Let's let Pastor Josh pick it up. He's a speaker. He's a voice. He's a feeder, right? Let him pick it up. He's doing all the, am I making sense? No, pick up your cross daily. So I've got to like, oh, okay, well, let me exercise some spiritual muscles here and pick it up. These are just things that were meant a lot to me. Matthew, this one just killed me, Josh. I mean, it killed me, Pastor Josh. I'm a young Christian, and I go to Matthew chapter 7. And actually, in Matthew chapter 7, he's finishing up a message, long message. And he finishes up this message. But he ends up saying, not everyone that cries unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now let's just stop there, okay? When I read that, fear gripped my heart. Because I was doing everything I thought I was, should be doing, you understand, to please God. But he says, not everyone that cries unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. And so I needed to process that and think about that and, you know, realize that it was something I needed to make sure and have a confidence in, that I was in alignment with what God's purpose were. How about you guys? I'm preaching on this because I'm thinking you're identifying with this. Am I close? So I'm, you know, I am growing and maturing and, but I read that scripture, it just knocked the socks off me. It did. So I'm thinking, oh, wow, you mean I could miss it? He goes on to say these kind of things, his desired will, Matthew. He says things like this. He goes, he talks about, he that heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I liken unto him as a wise man, all right, who built a house. Okay. Spiritually, he's building a house. And you know how the scriptures go. The rains came, the winds came, and the floods of life hit that house, and it stood because it was founded upon the rock. But he that hears these things of mine doesn't respond, doesn't do them, I'll liken on him as a fool. And it ends up, the description, it says, great was the fall of it. And so I'm thinking, I'm taking all this in, and I'm thinking, okay, this is something else. I need to make sure I'm building the right kind of structure, the right kind of house. Matthew 25, please, which I understand. Matthew 25. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and he delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave the talent, or five talents. To another he gave two. And to another he gave one, or another one to each, according to his ability. And immediately he went out, or he went on a journey. Then and traded with them and made another five talents. I better turn to it. Where are you guys at, Matthew? Are you sure? Okay, I'm just checking with you. This is the humanity, you know, you understand. 25 or 14, I'll do better. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then He who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. That's hot. That's good. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained more also. Everybody say more. One more time. More. After, but he who had received 1 went and he dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him in verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. How many are looking forward to hearing that? Well done, good and faithful servant. And he says this. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. He says, look, there you have what is yours. You still have it. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant. Ouch. Ouch. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Everyone say with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Does that sound right to you? Does that sound right to you, anybody, or I just have a hard heart or something? I've read that, and you know, it just never seemed proper, never seemed right. You understand? What do you mean? Well, the poor guy, give the guy that has 10 talents. Well, he goes on. For to everyone who has more will be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away. For to everyone who has more will be given. Here's what I learned, and I'm going to insert something in there. And I heard it years ago from someone else, and it changed my life more. And it's like, for to everyone who has a responsive heart, more will be given. To everyone that has a responsive heart, more will be given. Because we're learning and we're growing and we're maturing and we're on a journey, and it's a journey of seeking, and seeking God will never change. We'll be seeking God till we see him, and then we'll be like him. But to everyone that has, maintains, cultivates, encourages, builds on, stays in alignment with a responsive heart, more will be given. More will be given. What a principle. If there's nothing else you heard that I said that was what important, at least this is something that wrap your humanity around this. And maintain and build and encourage and adopt and be fully persuaded in your heart that what God said he's going to do, because he has a determined will, but his desired will is that you become a part of it. And you join in the work, and you join in the building, you understand? And have a responsive heart. Because we're taught line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Can you say amen to that? God's desired will. We develop, we mature, keep healthy, get in alignment, and stay in alignment. Don't move out of alignment. It's like doing the general will of God. If you do the general will of God, what happens is the specific will of God will follow that. Most of the time, it can be many Christians want to know God's specific will before they practice God's general will. Is that possible? I'm saying most of the time, it seems the propensity is. And so you want to know God's specific will? Dive in with both feet and do the general will of God. General will is be faithful, be committed, have a servant's heart. You know what a servant's heart is? A servant's heart is simply making the other guy successful. I'm going to say that again. It's simply making the other guy successful. Can you imagine walking into a church, Josh, Pastor Josh, full of people that are making the other guy successful? Can you imagine? You guys think a visitor might discern that or might figure that out? Guess where he's going to want to go to church next week? What do you think? Oh, yeah. And bottom line to all this that I'm talking about is that we get to. Being a Christian is a get to. It's not like, oh, man, oh, another day in the Lord. Oh, I don't know what, I don't know if I can handle this. Or, you know, no, you, it's a get to. Servanthood is a get to. Everything you do as a Christian, you get to contribute. Your money and your time and whatever gifting and talents and graces, you get to. The abilities, the graces, all these things, we get to do that. We get to do that. He says, that's what I'm talking, God says, that's what I'm talking about. We get to. All right. So there's a desired will and there's a determined will. And, wow, I had much more, but I think my time's up. How close am I? I'm close, I think. And so I wanted to finish if I could. And finishing is processing the journey by becoming a glorious, victorious church. How we process that. You know, in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the beginning. By the way, you learn how to become a victorious, glorious church by dying to yourself. What did he say? Yeah, there's a, you guys hear me? There is such a thing as dying to yourself. It's like, I'm still working on it. I'm still fussing with it. What do you think? And so, it talks about in Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting not all of his benefits. It says, who forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns my head with loving kindness and tender mercies, and, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And we've got to remind our soul that we need to, you get it? I've got to remind my soul, because my soul can be like an untrained chimpanzee. Your soul, and your soul too. Get it? Some days you wake up and that's what you're thinking, you know. No, bless the Lord, O my soul. Crowns my head with loving kindness. And not just your average mercies, but tender mercies. Crowns my head with tender mercies. Who satisfy me with good things. That my strength be renewed like the eagles. Really? That's the advantage. That's the opportunity. That's the get to. You guys, I want you to say this with me. I want you to say, we get to. Say that. No, it's got to be. I'm obnoxious sometimes. I just want to hear this from you before I go, okay? We get to serve God. Contribute. Live a life. You get to live a life that honors him and glorifies him and gives him pleasure. Is he concerned? Sure he is, but he wants to use you. Hallelujah. Pastor Josh, thank you so much for this opportunity.